Sermons from the Journey is an audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Rebecca Clark, pastor at Trinity United Methodist Church in Montpelier, Vermont, and blogging online at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening.
As most of you know, I hail from the part of Vermont that is humbly referred to as the Northeast Kingdom. I grew up there and I attended Linden Institute High School, the rival high school of St. Johnsbury Academy, although I hold no terrible disregard for folks from St. Johnsbury in my heart, I assure you. And as most of you also know, I am almost 33, will be 33 in May. And my son will be 2 in July. And my elementary school in the town of Sutton, there was a classmate of mine, or actually a classmate of my sister's, younger than myself. His name was Derek Jenkins. So when I heard last Sunday night and into Monday and Tuesday the story unfolding about 33-year-old Melissa Jenkins, cousin of my sister's classmate, a school teacher at St. Johnsbury Academy who grew up in Danville and St. Johnsbury and who was violently killed. I guess there's not really a way to non-violently kill someone, who was brutally murdered on Monday evening while her 2-year-old son was in the car. I took it very hard. I felt a very deep connection to this story, to this young woman who I don't believe I met, but who traveled in so many of the same circles as myself and whose short life was lived and played out in the place that I call home and whose family and community are struggling to make sense of a tragedy and an evil, a horror that we cannot make okay, cannot make go away. Late in the day on Monday, a friend of mine on Facebook asked, said, I'm not a church person. I don't really believe in God. I don't go to church. But on days like today, I kind of wish I did. And I wonder what Pastor Becca would say on a day like today. And so I responded to her and to some others. And some of what I said was that I don't tend to think much, if I can help it, about evil. I don't preach about it very often. I don't speak about it very often. And I certainly don't envision very often, if at all, some guy with horns and a pitchfork and a pointy tail. I try to steer as clear from those conversations as possible. But something like this reminds me and reminds all of us that evil is real and is among us. It's not this distant thing that we can push off on some figure and then kind of bury from our consciousness and pretend it doesn't exist and it doesn't happen and it doesn't touch our lives and it doesn't live in and lurk in our communities and in our own hearts. It is real, and it is something against which we struggle in big ways and small ways every day. The propensity toward violence is part of who we are as people, as human beings. One person online this week happened to be my dad, suggests that maybe in part this is evolutionary, right? Who survives battles and struggles but the most ruthless, the most violent, time and time again? It's built into our DNA. And again, whether or not I hold much hope in my heart that there's a talking snake, I don't need the story in Genesis to tell me that we are broken and we are fallen and we are desperately in need of grace. And a story like this reminds me of that. And as we discovered the details surrounding Miss Jenkins' death and that it was an acquaintance, a couple with whom she was acquainted, who plowed her driveway, who lured her intentionally out of her house, saying they had car trouble, And we discovered more and more about this story. Our own propensity for violence, for revenge, bubbles to the surface. We want to see these folks punished, and punished badly, punished in a way that we feel they deserve, as if anyone could measure the horror that they did and then somehow dish it back out in appropriate measure. We want to say that evil is something that exists over there and something that we can kind of push off. And when I think about this week and I think about the stories that we're going to examine together on Thursday and Friday, particularly as we talk about Jesus' last moments and last hours and last days, I think of this one story as the disciples are gathered around the table at the Last Supper. And in one of the Gospels it says, "And then at that point the devil entered Judas Iscariot." Right? And I think to myself in some ways that that's a bit of a cop-out, because Judas didn't need any external force to enter him. That lives in all of us. That's what I think. That ability to be afraid and to be motivated by that fear, that ability to be faithless, to be a betrayer, that lives in all of us. And we can't just, you know, go pointing fingers and saying, "Oh, somebody else made me do it." We have to confront the reality that this violence, this evil, this horrible human nature that we see sometimes, that we all have on some level the ability to go there, whether or not we are the sorts of people who would harm an innocent person, or the sorts of people who express rage, understandable rage and violent rage against those who've harmed innocent people, or just folks who get frustrated and throw things and say things we regret and don't mean. We all have that ability in us. And part of the story we tell this week is that we have to confront the worst of ourselves before we can live into the best of ourselves. The other story that's been unfolding the past couple of weeks is about Trayvon Martin, the young man in Florida who was killed by a neighborhood watchman. And one of the sort of movements arising around this is a whole group of people kind of taking to the streets wearing hoodies, as Martin was wearing when he was shot, and proclaiming, "We are Trayvon Martin." And we are. And on Friday, for the day that Melissa Jenkins' memorial service was held in St. Johnsbury, Vermonters and people all across the country wore pink in honor of her and in celebration of her life and in solidarity with her community, in a sense proclaiming, "We are Melissa Jenkins." And we are. But we are also the fearful neighborhood watchmen who shoot first and ask questions later. And we are also, on some level, the twisted killers on the roadside. And we are the crowds that rode with Jesus into Jerusalem singing Hosanna. And we are the crowds in Pilate's court chanting Crucify. This is who we are. We are all of that. And the story that we tell this week, the story of faith, as I said to my friend on Facebook, and as I will say again and again and again, doesn't matter what your faith is, I believe the story of faith is this: that we have a choice. That violence, that evil, that propensity in us to give in to the worst of ourselves, that's not the only way to be. Yes, it's part of who we are, but it's not all of who we are, and we don't have to live that way. We have a choice, and we have something else we can believe in. The story of faith is that violence and death and grieving and despair and rage and evil do not win. They don't get the last word, and they do not have the ultimate power in our world. That is the story of faith. There is something else. There is something else that is stronger and deeper and truer than the worst of our natures. There is something else to which we are called. There is something else that we can choose. Another way we can choose to orient our lives. Another way we can live. Another way we can be. One of my favorite things to read about Palm Sunday comes from John Dominic Crossan and Marcus Borg about the last week, and it talks about Palm Sunday into Easter. And about Palm Sunday, Crossan and Borg say that what Jesus is essentially doing is lifting up a choice, in some ways a very political choice, between the Roman might, right, represented by Caesar, represented by Caesar's army, represented by Pilate as Caesar's governor, entering the city in strength, and God's might, which is very different. An itinerant rabbi on the back of a donkey riding on somebody's cloak, no swords, no weapons, just palm branches waving. Right, and that what Jesus is presenting is almost like a counter-protest or a counter-demonstration against the ruling power of the world. Think of it, if you will, as Occupy Jerusalem. He is presenting the 1% vision against the 99% of Rome, talking here about power, and not just money, but about power, concentrated power. And it's absolutely true, and I've thought about Palm Sunday that way for years and years and years, but we can't think about it only as a political choice. Because Jesus is offering a theological choice, a spiritual choice, a practical choice about how we live our lives. Are we going to go with our instincts? Our instincts that lead us toward violence, toward retribution, toward power if we can grab it, toward bowing before power if somebody else grabs it first. Are we going to live by that? Or are we going to hold on to our faith in love? And love, when I say love, I want you to hear it with a capital L at the front of it. I want you to hear it as the author of the letters of John say, God is love. Love, for me, is just another word for the name of God. Are we going to hold on to our faith in love, our faith in God, our faith that there is something else we can be? That's the choice before us. The power of this world or the power of God in love. That is the choice before us. Fear, violence, hatred, or love. The power to be molded by our own worst instincts, or the power and the grace to be shaped in God's image. In processing something evil, in responding to it, we have that same choice. It's how we live our lives, and it's how it especially meets, you know, the rubber meets the road, so to speak, when we are confronted with something that is horrifying, as this is horrifying. Our choice is fear. Fear like the crowds have shown, fear like Judas shows around the table, fear as Peter shows outside Pilate's court, denying that he ever knew the man named Jesus. Violence as the crowds show when they cry for crucifixion, violence as the Roman authorities show as they inflict it, violence as we call for when we want those who have done wrong to suffer greatly for it, hatred, bitterness, grief that tells us, you know, some grief is fine, but we say we do not grieve as those who have no hope. Grief that tips us into despair, that tells us that this is all there is. That's one choice. And then there is love. Then there is the man who rides willingly into the city of Jerusalem, knowing what waits for him there. On the back of a donkey with his only weapons, the branches of palm leaves. The man who walks with open arms toward his captors, and goes willingly to his death in love, in forgiveness. That love chose us. And now we have a choice represented in Palm Sunday, a choice represented in Holy Week, a choice represented every time we face the evils of this world and we decide how we move forward from this place. Love chose me, so I'm going to choose love. Amen.